immigration supporters rallying on Utah's Capitol Hill. We'll have those details in 10 minutes on 105.7 FM, 570 AM.
Hear about the news throughout the day, and then every afternoon when you drive home, we give you a chance to talk about it so you can stay connected with Talk Radio 105.7 FM, 570 AM. It is the Red Arquette Show. Great to have you back with us as you drive home on this Monday as we head into the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. 888-570-8010 is the number to call if you'd like to join in on the conversation today. 888-570-8010. You can text us at 59570 or email us at rod@knrs.com. If you're just joining us now, the grand jury in Ferguson, Missouri has reached a decision on whether or not charges will be brought against police officer Darren Wilson in the shooting of Michael Brown back on August 9th. The decision will be announced at 7 o'clock Mountain Time tonight. That is 7 o'clock Mountain Time tonight, a decision being announced there in St. Louis County and in St. Louis, Missouri. A lot of talk this weekend on the various talk shows about the president's decision and his moves on immigration reform and amnesty. But there is a very interesting aspect that nobody is really talking about until today, and it's being discussed by my next guest. His name is Joel Kutkin. He is an author, a fellow at Chapman University, author of a brand new book, as a matter of fact, out called The New Class Conflict. We've had Joel on before. Always great to chat with him. Joel, how are you, and welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's nice to be here.
Joel, you write today about, and I don't think anyone has brought this up yet, the economic consequences of this amnesty, and particularly on those 5 million, 6 million who will be granted a amnesty in this country. There really is an impact, won't there be?
Well, I think there'll be a big impact on them and on particularly the lower end. I mean, if you look at, of the labor market, if you look at who the undocumented are, which people don't seem to be doing, they're a very high percentage who, you know, don't have much more than a grade school education. Only 8% are college graduates. And this is a population that is in competition with working class people of all ethnicities, African American, Hispanic, white. And this is going to be a real problem, particularly since we have an economy that can't seem to provide a lot of upward mobility for the people who are already here. So we have to ask ourselves, if we're going to have this amnesty and eventually a path to citizenship, which I think is kind of inevitable, we have to be sure that we have an economy that can accommodate their aspirations, or else we're going to have some of the kind of problems that they've had in Europe.
And do we have that economy right now, in your opinion, Joel?
No, we do not. We have an economy that, in certain parts of the country, you know, Utah is in better shape than most places. There's some upward mobility. But generally speaking, no, there's not a great deal. And particularly one of the great ironies is that it's places like California and New York where there's the most pressure to have amnesty and the most pressure to bring in more immigrants are exactly the places that have no jobs for them.
How is this different, Joel, and you write about this in your article today, how is this different from immigration movements in the past? What has happened?
Well, when the immigrants came, let's say, you know, my family came, you know, turn of the last century, the country was growing very rapidly. There was a, you know, great demand for labor in the United States. It's one of the things that drove people to the United States, was there was a constant demand for labor. Then when we got to to what I would consider the Reagan-Clinton years, which were very good years economically, there was also a lot of demand for labor. We didn't have the phenomena we have today of, you know, when you ask your college student, what are you going to do when you graduate? And now they tell you, well, I'm going to work as a barista or I'm going to park cars.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case in the 80s, where companies were really desperate to get people, and in the 90s as well. So these immigrants are coming into a much more difficult economic climate than previous generations of immigrants.
And is it simply the demand for labor has changed and changed rapidly?
Well, yes, the demand for labor has changed, and that the growth has been at the low end and not very much at the middle, and of course at the very high end has been growth. So what you don't have is a society where these immigrants, like, you know, most immigrants, even through the 80s and 90s, came in, they said, well, I'll get a job, and then I'll get a little more skill, or I'll start a business, and I'll make it into the middle class. And what you can see, for instance, in California today, is 50% of the new mortgages were for Hispanics in 2006, and now it's 22 or 23%. So what's happening is the path to upward mobility has really been blocked, and then adding another 5 or 6 million people to the equation is problematic. Plus, many of these people are settling with kids in school districts that already have 35, 40 kids mm-hmm. in the class and already struggling. I mean, Pete Shabarum in the county of Los Angeles is estimating about $200 million in extra social welfare costs just in L.A. County, which is not exactly brimming with money.
No, it's true. And you compared today, Joel, we're well aware of the plight of young African-Americans in this country right now and their struggle to find jobs and get a good education and to be able to get out of the poverty issue that we have in this country. Are Latino Americans, who at one time were enjoying some tremendous success, falling behind as well?
Yes. I mean, right now, the rate of Latino youth poverty is now higher than African Americans. Latinos are having made tremendous gains in the 80s and 90s, have really been stuck really since the recession, in part because they were very involved in the construction economy. They were involved in manufacturing. They lived particularly large numbers in California, which has not gained back those kind of jobs. And so what you have is you have a situation where Hispanics are moving into a territory not unlike that of African Americans. The way I make the point here in California is we had a booming economy. We essentially invited huge numbers of fairly low-skilled people to come here because there was opportunity, and then it disappeared. Very similar to what happened to African Americans who moved to the heartland, to the industrial Midwest in the 50s and 60s, only to find that the jobs they came for disappeared.
On our newsmaker line right now is Joel Kutkin. He is an author. He's got a great article out today talking about the economic consequences of amnesty. Joel, let me ask you, this is very compelling information as I read through your article today. How do conservatives who are opposed to this effort on the part of Obama get this message out so the American people can understand what exactly is about to hit them?
Well, I think conservatives have really a very complicated situation because I think that to act in a manner that is nativist and hostile to people from other countries is obviously not going to work very well for them long term. I mean, it's going to cost them politically over time, and it's not the right position to have either, I don't think. But if they can argue on the basis of compassion and say, look, if we're going to bring these people in, we have to have a mechanism for them to move up, not to go on to social welfare and just add to the social welfare rolls, but how do we create an economy and enough opportunity so that these people can be absorbed? And that we certainly should be very careful also at the same time of saying, look, we cannot really absorb this kind of undocumented immigration in the future. We just, we just can't. The economy isn't growing fast enough. And again, we're not even servicing our college-educated people, much less, the people with less education.
And this goes back to the argument that has been made during this whole debate of if the president and the administration and the White House really do care about these people or they're just trying to bring them in here for more votes.
Well, I'm sure that, I was taught by many years ago by Michael Harrington, who was one of my teachers, when I was studying in New York, that you can't make assumptions that people are dishonest internally, or that, in other words, most people don't think, oh, I'm just being cynical and all I care about is the votes. I'm sure that they think this is the right thing to do, this is the humane thing to do. I think that to get into people's motives is a dangerous thing. Yes, it's politically advantageous. I think they can make that argument, but I do think that at the same time, we have to understand that they are simply not looking at the issue as it really affects the grassroots. You know, I think about it living in the city of Los Angeles, as I do, with children, and realizing that our schools are in such terrible shape. And if you add thousands of more kids who are can't speak English, come from, you know, poor backgrounds, you know, I can make up for it for my children. But what about the working class Latino family that's struggling now? And now the schools and their neighborhoods are going to have to deal with a whole group of people who are going to come in now, because, you know, I'm sure the word's going to come out in Mexico and Central America particularly. You know what? Just come to the U.S. The Democrats are going to make sure that you'll never be deported and you'll be legalized over time.
Scary thought, Joel. Joel, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Joining us on our Newsmaker line, Joel Kotkin. Great article today about the economic consequences of amnesty. Do you think anybody in the administration thought about those? More coming up on the Rod Arquette Show on Talk Radio 105.7 FM, 570 AM.